This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
One thing we haven't talked a whole lot on the Everyday AI Show is how AI is already impacting the beauty industry. And not just how it's already impacting, but how it may impact it in the future. Because there's a lot, I think, of conversation to be had around artificial intelligence and beauty. So that is today's conversation. And I'm extremely excited for this and talk about how a beautiful AI and how AI can shake up the beautiful, the beauty industry. All right. So thank you for joining us. If you're new here, my name is Jordan Wilson, and this is Everyday AI. We're a daily live stream podcast and free daily newsletter helping everyday people learn and leverage generative AI to grow their company and to grow their careers. So if you're joining us on the podcast, thank you. As always, check out your show notes in the episode description for more information and to subscribe to our daily newsletter. And I like to tell people, if you haven't gone to youreverydayai.com yet and subscribe to the our free daily newsletter, you are definitely missing out. It is one of the largest and best collections of generative AI education interviews that there is, period. All right. So I'm excited for today's conversation. And hey, we're technically debuting this live, but sometimes people can't make our 7:30 a.m. Central Standard, and that's okay. So this is technically a pre-recorded version, but we're bringing it to you live. I'll still be in the comments answering questions, so still get them in if you have them. But with that, I'm very excited to have our guest for today. There we go. So please help me welcome to the show, Wayne Liu, the President and Chief Growth Officer of Perfect Core. Wayne, thank you so much for joining Everyday AI.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a fun conversation. But, you know, Wayne, before we get started, I would love to hear a little bit more about you, your background, and, you know, kind of what you do at Perfect Core.
Yeah. So again, thank you. Really great to have this opportunity to talk about AI, especially in the beauty industry. So my name is Wayne Liu. I'm the president and chief growth officer of Perfect Corp. I'm also one of the co-founders. So Perfect Corp has been in the business for about 8.5 years. We start from a startup company. And then in 2022, we went public, you know, listed in the New York Stock Exchange. So basically, we are a technology company. However, our technology serves a very interesting industry, which is the beauty. Okay, so majority of product is being used in by the beauty company, for example, Estee Lauder, you know, like LVMH of the world, and also some of the retailer like Walmart. So they use our technology in a different aspect. So majority are using in the virtual try-on. So you can, of course, you know, try many different the color, you know, the eye color and the lipstick. And also, that's something we're getting to just recently, is doing the skin analysis. We're using AI, of course, like a deep learning and all kind of thing, to create a full, like a simple skin analysis. You know, just, you know, in not only in the beauty world, but also getting to the medical field. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I definitely want to go down those roads, Wayne, but first, you know, I have a question. So, you know, Perfect Core, you said, has been around for 8 years, a publicly traded company. How has just AI, even just for you all internally, what you do in your day-to-day, you know, obviously artificial intelligence is not new. It's been around in industries for many decades, but I'm even curious from when you all first started 8 years ago to today, how has your implementation of, you know, whether it's traditional, you know, AI and deep learning and machine learning to generative AI, how has your AI implementation internally changed throughout the years?
That's a great, great question. I have to say, because people thought like AI equal to ChatGPT, right? So it's just, but actually AI has a long history. As you say, from day one, we are using AI, especially because we are dealing with makeup, you know, to say. So you have to identify, you recognize your face. So the first thing is actually to understand your face or the feature point. It's a learning process. You know, we need to get many data for this machine to learn exactly like where your eye is, and where your nose, where your lips, and also understand the color side of this the product. So how we put the lipsticks on your lips, and then consider the reflection of the light, consider, you know, the environment. So that's why we can show the true to real. So that's the very beginning we are using the AI, you know, of course, learning your basis. And then we get into shade matching because we have a, you know, you're dealing with the makeup. So foundation, your skin tone. So we need to identify the shade. So we are using deep learning to learn all kinds of different the skin tone. Okay. So then we can very clearly to recognize your skin and then we do a matching. That's about the deep learning. You know, we use a lot. Then, of course, the skin, we have about like a 70,000 data point to begin with to build our very robust and solid skin analysis engine. Okay. In order to make a AI, I won't say no, like a 100% no bias. They say almost impossible, less bias. We need to collect lots of data, okay, across different ethnic group and the skin condition. So, and then we are doing simulation, okay? So because, you know, what if, okay? So your skin look like this, and then what if after treatment, what your skin will look like? We do some simulation, but simulation part actually is the generative AI. So we start with, again, you know, generative adversary network, but then right now we migrated to more like a on the stable fusion side, because that's, I'll say it's more efficient. And then also we get into fashion. You can see some of this fashion, 3D object, how you create this 3D object without really have the 3D object. So it's all learning and creation. So it's a, our company is more like an evolution of AI, start with machine learning, deep learning, generative AI. And also right now we try to create the interface using, you know, of course, a large language model. For the user can communicate what they really want to the machine, and then you know the engine can generate the beautiful look for them.
And you know, for those of you joining on the podcast, you know, here on the live stream, I'm kind of showing the Perfect Core website and kind of explaining some of these different things that Wayne's you know talking about. You know, everything from virtual. Kind of skin, you know, helping skin conditions, you know, trying on glasses virtually. You know, Wayne, at least where things are today, I just want to get straight to it because I want to learn about what's coming, you know, in the beauty industry. But where do you see this going, especially, right? Because, you know, here at Everyday AI, we talk a lot more about generative AI. So specifically even there, how do you see generative AI, you know, changing things in the years to come, specifically for the beauty industry?
Yeah, so actually that, you know, it's a very fundamental question for the developer like us. The generative AI saves us lots of time. You know, it becomes more efficient. Okay, previously, as I said, you go through this deep learning. Of course, you know, generative AI, you still need to learn, but it's more powerful. And also using this again, right? So if you're using, for example, one of the examples is we create a hairstyle. If you're using GAN AI, I mean, you know, your generative diversity network, it probably take 5 days to come up with one special hairstyle. But if you're using Stable Fusion, it's one of the Gen AI, probably just like a couple of hours, you can create a hairstyle. So it's become more efficient. And then on the productivity side, it's increased, you know, manifold. And also accuracy, you know, compared to what is, you know, more like a GAN, which we generate something is more accurate, it's more efficient. So that's why I guess for our customer, they really love to see that because they can get this the product in the shortened time and also cost less. So everything, you know, just because of the Gen AI, it become more efficient and then the productivity increase a lot. So we will continue to invest and our brand partner, actually they love to see this and then also they will continue to invest.
So, you know, I think we showed a lot of, or, you know, kind of referenced a lot of different use cases. So, you know, things in the fashion industry, aesthetics, you know, the whole beauty industry. But I'm wondering, you know, outside of that, Wayne, how can this technology, like as a whole, so not even necessarily talking about Perfect Core specifically, but how can this technology as a whole be used for other things that maybe aren't even related to beauty, right? So for medical conditions, et cetera, how can generative AI right now be used to help in some of those, you know, non-beauty, but related to beauty areas?
Yeah, so basically I think education and then empowerment, that's the two thing I see from the generative AI. What I'm saying that is, first is education. For example, you know, if you are a patient, you have some condition in your hair, I mean your face, you really don't know what happened. You just know your face is not perfect, something wrong. So you went to a doctor's office, dermatologist, you want to get some treatment, and the doctor probably tell you something that is real, like a medical term. Okay, so they probably said, well, your skin is, you know, it's like 30% less compared to your demographic, compared to your same age, and you may have some, you know, some damage here and there. But, you know, the patient actually has no idea about what 30% mean, what compared to average patient, and then what's the sun damage look like. By using AI and also generative AI, actually just scan your faces, right? Of course, through the machine learning. So right now, this AI is more like they have a knowledge to become a dermatologist. They look at your faces, scan your faces, and then we can graphically, like visually, display where your problem is. And then, you know, 30%, right? So 30%, it will show you what's the perfect one and what's the 30% look like. So it's more like education. So the patient, when they step into the clinic, they feel less vulnerable because they know. And also the doctor probably can use, in, as I said, the generative AI to show them what if. Okay, so, you know, you have lots of options. You can do this treatment. You can do that treatment. So, for example, if you do this non-invasive treatment, you probably give you a 40% increase. I mean, but if you want to do a surgery, it probably give you a 70% improvement. So then everything can be simulated. Okay, so you know what will happen. So that's why I think education is very important. And on the other side, because you possess knowledge, because this AI teach you, you know what happened. So they empower you. You can start making your decision. Okay, so you probably say 40% improvement is good enough. So I really don't need to get into a surgery. I can do a non-invasive one. Or if you really like to have a 70% improvement, you do the surgery, you know what will happen. So that's why I guess that can be a very, it's not really can be, actually it's being used in the medical field. Yeah.
Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realized that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
Everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you. You know, you bring up a lot of great points because, you know, there's obviously medical applications for AI and even for your products and services, but then there is just the beauty industry as well. And I'd say, you know, from an outsider observing, I think the beauty industry has changed a lot, you know, with social media. I think it's really heightened, you know, maybe people's expectations of beauty or even what it means to be beautiful. What are the type of conversations, you know, that maybe you and your colleagues or others in related industries, specifically around artificial intelligence and beauty, what are some of those conversations that you're having? Because I'm sure it's, you know, you have to strike a balance, yes, right, between, you know, helping people, you know, feel more beautiful, but also not, you know, going too far and kind of pushing this that you have to, you know, do all of these things, or you have to wear this makeup, or you have to have, you know, this procedure in order to be beautiful. How do you balance that?
Yeah. So again, that's a great question. It's always a conversation among, you know, us, you know, in the internally and also with our client. You know, we've been dealing with all these big beauty company. So the thing here is, what is really beauty? How you define that? Okay, but we call it beauty 1.0. It means like they put a beautiful model on top of this poster or put a magazine. They tell you that's beauty. So everybody try to mimic, try to be more like that perfect figure. However, with the technology, especially AI, we talk about personalization. Okay, that's the one thing which is very important, is especially in the beauty world. So the definition of beauty is really on the eye of the beholder. So you start to define your own beauty, especially for this younger generation like a Gen Z and even this Gen Alpha. They have their own idea about what the beauty look like, and AI can really help them. For example, first is AI can be more like a consultation. Again, look at your faces and look at what your preference. They may come up with some recommendation, which just for you. I always like to say AI can make a demographic of one. Okay, because you are not compared to other people. You are just by yourself because you are unique. So that's why we do this in the beauty industry. And then we provide the tool, we provide the information. At the end of the day, you define your own beauty. Okay, but you can use all this digital tool using the information we provide. Again, empowerment, education, and you start to show yourself. And then put yourself in front of the the social media, and then you use the digital tool to help you to create your own beauty. So that's why sometimes it's the opposite when people say, people think about AI, you try to perfect everything, it becomes fake. So that's probably is one thinking. But actually what happened in the beauty industry is empower people, personalization, and AI, especially Gen AI, can really help you to do that.
I'm curious, Wayne, and this is a little bit outside of maybe your day-to-day thought process, because you're out there building and growing a large company. But, we kind of talked about how social media over the last decade or so has impacted people's perception of beauty and maybe even, them seeking out treatments for their skin, et cetera. How do you think, AI images, right? Like, I think over the last year, that's really changed, I think, what people's perception of beauty maybe is. There's been a lot of studies that, whatever you put in an AI image generator, whether you're using, DALL-E from OpenAI or Midjourney or Stable Diffusion, it's hard to make average looking people, right? Like everything that you put in there on the other end, it just seems to make the person look a little better or more aesthetically pleasing, like no matter what you ask for. I guess, what's your take on that and how it's, societal impacts of just generative AI like that, constantly putting out, content where people just look a little too perfect?
Yeah, so actually, I have to admit that can be a problem, right? So, of course, we try to push this personalization and then try to give you confidence. But in the other way, usually using this generative AI will create lots of image, which is not real, right? So, but you look perfect. So it's the same thing like you're using ChatGPT. You ask them to write in the article for you, but it actually is not what you are writing. So you are hiding behind that. So I will say that one is something we cannot avoid. Okay, so it also depends on how you're going to use the AI. Also, AI is a tool. So ideally, AI can be the assistant we call the augmented intelligent. They can make you better, but you still don't want to lose yourself. So that's why I guess the education and then some of this, thought leader, you really need to get people to understand AI is something we can help you, but it cannot replace you because the human factor is still very important, right? So that's the, that's some negative side you cannot avoid. That just happened. But on the positive side, that's why, education and thought leadership, and probably the program like yours can really get into like the right recognition, how we're going to use the AI in the right way. So that's my take on that. Yeah.
I'm curious, maybe we should have started here, but everything that you're talking about that you're doing at Perfect Core, it's very interesting. But even with your background, right, like working at NVIDIA, like how did you stumble, upon, or maybe it wasn't stumbling upon, but how did, kind of your own foray into Perfect Core and beauty, how did this even happen?
Yeah, so actually I said my journey is an interesting one. So it's I was an engineer, I get a degree, it's engineer degree, and then my first job is with Intel, and my last engineering job is with NVIDIA. Okay, then I think that engineering side is interesting, but I decided to seeking something more broader, okay? Because I design things, right? So I design GPU. However, how to use, how this GPU being used in the real world is something I'm very curious about. So then I get into a company, which actually it was a perfect course, a parent company called CyberLink. So their company, software company, they are using all this hardware. Now, then I have a better idea, understand how people using this a semiconductor, you know, equipment and how they use it in the real world. So, and then I get interesting. And then, you know, our, which is my boss and then also my longtime friend and mentor, Alice Chen, who is our CEO. She was the CEO founder of CyberLink. And then she want to found another company. Interesting is she want technology to serve more women. Okay. Because herself is a female. So they say, why don't we get something fun and for women? And then immediately think about makeup. And then she says, well, actually, let's try something like this. Okay, using technology and the makeup to serve the you know, the women, female community. And then I just get assignment. So our CEO said, you know, go ahead and let's do this venture. Let's start this company. That's how I get into it. So personally, you know, I have no idea about makeup. I'm not wearing makeup. I have no idea. But we just, interestingly, we get into this journey. Also, it is a magic journey. So we are getting to beauty and right now establish ourselves as the leader in the beauty technology.
Oh, it's such a good story, right? Like, yeah, you probably never would have guessed 10 years ago that you would be in the position that you're in now.
My father wanted me to be more like a NASA scientist. So,
Okay. So let's just even go there, you know, as we kind of wrap this conversation. So, you know, 10 years ago, maybe you didn't think that you would be here, helping to drive really the beauty industry forward when it comes to technology and AI. So even maybe as you look at the next couple of years or the next 5 or 10 years, I know it's hard, right? But where do you see specifically with AI, specifically with generative AI, where do you see the beauty industry going?
Yeah, so I will say the AI, it's not like a, it's just like a, it will stay. It's not like a one shot and I'll say something like a metaverse, right? Because when we see metaverse, it's really the application is a little bit shaky, you know, but AI is really started because I feel a couple of things. First is that it really increased the productivity. As I mentioned, you know, we are our engineering using AI to help them to design. And then, so that's why I guess increased productivity is really one thing, not only in the beauty industry, but also in general. And especially in the beauty, because we create all this tool, which you help as a work with the human side by side. That's why I'm always augmented intelligent. So that really helps the beauty industry be more efficient. In the meantime, you know, increase the productivity. And then we are not really replacing human because we still work with the human together. So that's why I think, first thing is it will stay, okay? And then the second thing is how this beauty industry is using AI. At the end of the day, they want to see return, okay? It doesn't matter how fun it is. You can create some fun stuff. But for the business perspective, they want to see this tool be useful. They generate a couple of return on the business measure. First is a return of investment, conversion rate, okay? So if AI can help to convert, of course, they will be good. And if AI can help to improve the user experience, get users stay, and then get probably using generative AI to educate the customer. So definitely that's the one thing, you know, the business is looking at. And then also the third thing is how to using AI to help their product or their industry become more sustainable. Okay, what I'm saying that is for choosing the ingredient. Okay, because, you know, if you get some allergy or something with some kind of ingredient, potentially AI can tell you, okay, for the product you are trying to choose, you're using, would they have anything, not necessarily harmful, but not suitable for your skin? So they will give you this, put the recommendation. You can use a better cleaning, more like a clear resource, I mean, the ingredient. And also by using AI plus AR, of course, you try something virtually, okay? You don't really need to get into the tester. You can try virtually as many as you like. You can create and then reduce the waste. Because if you get something which is really you don't like, you return it. And then in the beauty industry, if you return something, they throw it away. It's no way to recycle things. So they just throw it away. So that's why by sheer amount of the, you know, saving the test with the AI and AR, we have actually a research. It probably saved roughly 1.2 million kilograms of carbon dioxide. And then one of our partner, Kao is a Japanese company. They're using artificial intelligence and AR to help a customer to try the hair color instead of give the sample. They save 57 tons of plastic. Okay. So all aspect is a positive about it. But of course, we talk about, you know, some negative thing, but I guess at the end of the day, people like us who we create the AI, people like you, you promote the AI, we have the responsibility to make AI on the right track. Okay. So how you train AI, how you use AI is really you will have a different track if you're just using AI in some, I would say, evil way. They may cause harm, right? So that's why I think I feel more responsible, social responsibility right now, since we are the one who create using AI to start create lots of tool. It can help people. That's the goal. We don't want to hurt people. Right? So that's why, we have the responsibility on the AI side.
I love that. You know, what you just said right there, I think is a perfect takeaway and a great way to wrap today's show by just talking about, yes, you can use AI for growth and productivity. I mean, you're a perfect example of that, president of a public company, but you can also do it in a sustainable and responsible way. I love that message. And thank you. Thank you so much, Wayne, for joining the Everyday AI Show to tell us, take us both on your journey of how you're using AI at Perfect Core, but also the future of the business, the future of AI in the beauty industry and how others can use it as well. So we very much appreciate your time and for sharing your story.
You are very welcome. I really enjoyed the conversation. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me again.
All right. Hey, thank you again, Wayne. And as a quick reminder, don't worry. I'm still in the comments. If you have any questions, hit me up. Maybe Wayne might be able to stop by and answer some as well. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And as a reminder, go to youreverydayai.com. Sign up for that free daily newsletter. We'll be recapping today's episode and more. Thank you for joining us. And we hope to see you back for more Everyday AI. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.